Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and 44 through 46. Matthew 13. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. And so what would you give up everything to possess? What would you sell everything you have to own? What is your pearl of supreme value? What do you value the most today? This morning, we are again following the lectionary, and in particular, Matthew's gospel. Last week, Rob preached on the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And today, we continue on in chapter 13. And he begins each of the 4 parables I just read, Jesus, with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." It's a phrase you might have heard before. It's used often in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a phrase that is difficult to define. In other Gospels, it's described as the kingdom of God. Some translate it as the reign of God. When Jesus describes it, he's often talking about right relationships. He's describing a new way to live, a new social order that allows or encourages or maybe even mandates for good connections between people and people, between people and God, between people and creation. For Jesus, the kingdom of God, it's the world as it would be if God was directly in charge. I've heard some say the kingdom is God's dream for this world. And so as a way to invite us into what this kingdom of heaven looks like and feels like, Jesus tells these short stories called parables. And today's parables are parables to the core. What I mean by that is that they're extremely mysterious, they're a little challenging. And there's not a single meaning or interpretation waiting for us to be discovered. We can look at these from a few different vantage points. So what's so mysterious about parables is that they are intentionally not meant to give us easy answers, which can be rather frustrating, right? We want, for the most part, easy answers. I often want the easy answers. Jesus, just tell me what God is like. Just tell me what I should do. Instead, he tells these stories that are intentionally meant to shake us up a little bit. They're meant to make us a little uncomfortable, which again is most often not what we're looking for when it comes to God and faith. We primarily come to church, we seek Christian spirituality for comfort. But Jesus has a different intention when he tells us these stories. So parables offer us these hints and these guesses of who God is and who we are. They invite us to peer inward look at our own lives, look at our own values. They're meant to penetrate our souls, force us to pause, to stop, and maybe look around for a little bit. So the word parable comes from the Greek word parabolo. So para means alongside or together with, and balo means to cast or to throw. So Jesus takes these stories, these metaphors, and he literally throws them alongside our lives. So as we're walking along, we can look at them, and they can look back at us. And he invites us to let them teach us something about our lives, about the world that we live in, and about this mysterious kingdom of God. Parables are meant to challenge us. And these four that we're looking at this morning do precisely that. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. This incredibly small, maybe even worthless seed that grows to become this huge bush, this huge shrub, and then a tree. In Jesus' time, mustard shrub was not seen as a highly regarded addition to your garden. It was basically a weed, consumed valuable space. But what at first is seen as insignificant, maybe even a little worthless, it grows to become a place of shelter and nurture for the birds. It's a place of life. It's a place of vitality. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. So being the master baker that I am, sarcasm right there, I had to look up what's actually going on here with the yeast and the leaven. So in the baking process, the yeast was used as a leavening agent. It helped the bread to rise. Except in Jesus' world, the yeast was not something that we just go pick up at the grocery store and is found in our kitchens. The yeast was bread that was intentionally left out to spoil. And so it was seen as unclean, it was seen as kind of gross. Yet in this parable, it produces enough bread to provide for a huge feast. These first two parables are not what we would expect to hear. Jesus describes something that the world around him would view as small and insignificant and undesirable, but in the end, it is growing extravagantly out of control, and it's feeding large amounts of people. Recently for dinner one night, a couple weeks ago, we pulled out various leftovers from the freezer and refrigerator. And for our meal, we kind of threw everything together. At first, we all weren't really sure if this was going to work. All of us weren't. And we received comments such as, "Ew, gross, I don't want that, that looks yucky." And then we sat down together at dinner table and we started to eat, and it was actually quite delicious. It tasted good. "Let's make this again," was heard. I wonder if we could say, life in the kingdom of God, it looks different. At first glance, life inside the kingdom does not look desirable at all. But if you're patient and you wait, you will find a place of life and vitality and purpose and meaning that you maybe did not expect. Now, if the first two parables are a little mysterious, it doesn't get any easier with these next two. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that was hidden in a field. Someone found that treasure and then hid it again. And in their pure joy, sold all they had and bought that field. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who was searching for fine pearls. after finding one pearl of great value to him, the merchant sold all of his belongings and bought that one pearl. These two are mysterious and maybe even a little unethical. The person who found the treasure in the field kind of tricked the owner of the land. And the merchant who buys the pearl is no longer a merchant in the end, is he? He has no more money. He gives up everything that he has for this one pearl. And Jesus seems to be okay with the strangeness of these stories, the lengths people will go to obtain this treasure and this pearl. I wonder if he's saying, in this life, do not pursue something that in the end is not really that valuable or is not very meaningful. Pursue only that which will truly satisfy and truly fill you up. And because this last parable is a classic parable, we can look at it from a couple different vantage points. And so as I asked you at the very beginning, what is your pearl of supreme value? What would you sell everything that you have to own? Is it a new career? To have the opportunity to do something that you've always dreamed of, is that your pearl? Have you always wanted to go back to school? Have you always wanted to dive into a particular subject but always felt like it wasn't the right time or something was always holding you back? Deep down, is that what you value the most? Is it to live in a certain city or a region of the country or in a different country? What is your pearl of supreme value right now? And I don't know, only you can answer that question. Is it a shiny new Corvette? Is it to retire at 40 and sit on the beach all day? Is it to be rich and famous? I include those three because at some time in my life, those were all of my pearls of great value, what I desired the most. This last parable, it asks us to look at the hidden aspects of our lives. It invites us to look at what we truly value. It invites us to sit down and maybe pause for a moment and notice where the road we're taking us on is going. What do we value in life right now? But the parable doesn't end there. And I wonder if we are being invited to ponder the pearl in our own lives so we can keep pondering the life that Jesus invites us into, the pearl he invites us to discover. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who found one pearl of great value, sold all that he had, and bought it. To offer a hint or a guess at maybe what this pearl might be, let's go back a few chapters in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For Jesus, the pearl of great value is not treasures on earth, material goods. They eventually just get all rusted and covered in dust. You can't take them with you. The saying goes, whoever has the most toys at the end wins, right? Jesus says, well, those, in the end, they will not truly satisfy you. In the end, they will not bring you life. For Jesus, what counts is treasures in heaven. These parables this morning, they invite us into a new way to live. a way that is different than what we sometimes hear and see from the culture around us. It's a life that values love. It's a life that values forgiveness and nonviolence and compassion and mercy and care and concern for your neighbors. Those who look and act and believe just like we do, and those who do not. It's kind of like the mustard seed and the yeast. From the first glance, it does not look desirable at all. Forgiveness? Mercy? What? But if we're patient, if we give it time, Jesus says it has the power to transform us and bring us life and purpose and meaning like nothing else. Amen.